The Twilight Zone. We vacillate here between the extreme bizarre and the extreme relevant situations of life. Our shiur is dwindling. Everyone is running away to all different parts of the world. People going to Florida, Terrace Yisrael. Okay, let's learn. We're on page Kupay Tess. We're up to Reish Tess. We are up to Halacha. Reish test. 209. What does the number 209 mean to you? Nothing. Who says it has to mean anything? Who says every mishagas? I know someone. Every little thing. Come on here. You know what kind of crazy? You got to be normal. Reish test. In tere baye shal tzadik o baye besak neses chorev. A person's rachmana litzon says bais vet tzadik or bais vesak nesav eschadev oy rishoim dorim boy or wicked people living in the house dash yisrael ho yudorim boy derech bizoyin that a Jew lived there derech bizoyin and that's why it happened. Now can you say such a thing like this today living in the year 2020? No way, Jose. This is another example of something which would completely be censored if it had been written today. If someone wrote a sefer like this today. Okay, if Sefer Chasidim was written today, published the year 2020, and this would appear, this would be removed from the bookshelf as total nonsense. Why? Very simple. What happened to the house of the Chofetz Chaim? It was occupied by the Nazis, by the Ukrainians. How do I know that? My great-grandfather was in prison. The Reish Rav, Aaron, his prison? You know where they held him? In the home of the Chofetz Chaim. Wow. Okay, my great-grandfather, his home today, it's a music school. I have a picture of it. It's a music school. So you're going to go tell me that the Chofetz Chaim, you're going to say, the Chofetz Chaim, if you see the house of a Baal, there's no greater tzaddik than the Chofetz Chaim. It's a fact. Nothing to make believe. Im tire Baal shel tzaddik. You know, there are many shuls that turned into churches. You know who daven in these shuls? Very holy people. They were the rabbis of the holiest of the holiest, and we live al pihem anu chayim. The piskei halacha, the way we conduct ourselves today, is based upon their halacha. You're going to say to me, da, she yishol ha yudodim bo derech bizayin? Who lived there before the home turned into a base of ozazar. So you're going to tell me the Chofetz Chaim lived there, derech bizayon? Impossible to say such a thing. So therefore, if someone would write something like this today,
What does it have to do today? Just even
so why are we learning this then today?
How would we understand it, what he wrote?
Exactly. So that's exactly the point I want to make. And that is why maybe, I think that's the reason why Sefer Chasidim, it's quoted very often. But it's not learned as a study of limud, only in the morning kolo. Only the morning kolo do we do such strange things. What?
The only group that learns this is this one?
Yeah. It's not, you don't hear, oh, go ashir on Sefer Chasidim. You learn Mishneh Berurah, you learn Chayei Adam, you learn Aruch HaShulchan, you learn the Levush, you learn Shulchan Aruch. You don't find people, you go to a Seder HaLimud. The Sefer Chasidim is often quoted. Okay, it's very often quoted, all over the place, but to go through it halacha by halacha, because it's a very difficult sefer to understand what it means. And
maybe cherry-picked.
Right, we cherry-picked, because and it opens up a question, so why indeed the Sefer Chasidim, there are certain, who even wrote it? There's a lot of mysterious things. How can you possibly say such a thing like this when today it's clearly not true? It's not true. You have to, Muhammad, say it's not true, such a thing.
True or not true. It's a matter of understanding what you're saying.
Oh, so you're a very holy person. Wow, I really give you a lot of credit. You're a lot holier than me. The way of understanding, to say to unsaid. Obviously, things, I don't know what to say. Okay. You have to say that today, we live in a world of extreme hester panim. Extreme. Hester panim v'yanochi, haster aster panai. Haster aster panai to an extreme. I forgot to fix the thing over here to turn it on. All right. And we live today in a world of the anochi haster.
Streaming your voice.
All right, so let me take a quick look at it right now. It's not working. What?
I'm not sure. He says this. Do you have that Makoros or Oros?
Leave it. Just leave it for now. It is what it is. Don't worry about it.
Do you have Makoros or Oros?
What?
Makoros.
Yeah, we have a Vav, it has all the sources. Okay, but let's just go through. We have to appreciate that not everything that's over here, you have to go take literally. You have to take it with a grain of salt. Let's go further. In Tir Ba'i, Shal Tzadik, Ba'i, Beis HaMeses, L'chav, Ayush, Rosh
Hashanah, Medor. You can say that about anything.
No, it seems like
we're
blaming the victim kind of thing here.
There are things that we don't understand. This is something we can't understand.
It could be that maybe 1,000 years ago they understood it.
Maybe okay.
True.
So, how are you going to explain today the reality that the entire Poland,
there are
all the Baltic Kinesios of Poland and Russia, and
you don't have to. Maybe at that time you could say that, and maybe at this time you can't say it because of
the Bible. This was written about 700 years ago.
Right. So maybe
700 years ago, they lived in a different plane. They lived in a different. A different world.
It's not even matter. He understood it. Maybe the people on the street didn't understand, but he understood it.
Okay, I don't know what to say. I don't have what to say. We're reading the words. We have to absorb what it says, have a moon in what it says, and we take what we can take out of it. So again, Imtir Ba'i Shal Tzadik, Oy Beis HaKnesses, Chorev, Oy Rishoyim Dorim Boy, Dasha Yishol Ho Yudorim Boy Derech Bizayon, Bechin Beis HaMidrash, Noigim Boy Kalas Roish, Beis HaMidrash, where people joke around, Soifoy, Neufel biyad arelim. Arelim means a non-Jew, a person that's uncircumcised. Dayoy le'eved shehei karaboy. It's enough that the servant should be like the master. What do we mean by that? Ki lo hayu nohagu nochrim kalus roish ubizayon bebeis Hashem ad shenohagu bo Yisrael. And he's saying that the goyim, they themselves, the reason why Hashem allowed the goyim to occupy our homes, our homes and our holy place, because that we damaged them. Shenemar hameoras paritzim hoya habayis hazeh. The Beis Hamikdash turned into a dwelling, a cave of paritzim, of people who break all the breaches, who break down the standards. The achar koch, the aruha, it will be uprooted and destroyed, kol oivrei dorech, all those people who are transgressors. Okay, so the point is that if we do not treat with respect our batei kinosios, batei midrashos, and even our homes, then rachmana litzlan, we're opening up the way, we're causing damage for the goyim to take over. I once had a very, 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 very frightening idea from Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Avraham Shur. It shook me up, and I think about it from time to time, and he says, how could it ever, Rachmana Litzlan, be that a person gets sick? How could it ever be that a person, that something happens in the home? There's a mezuzah. Isn't there a mezuzah? On the door. The purpose of the mezuzah is to provide protection. What? It's our tradition. The simple, you're saying a good point. The reason why there's a mezuzah is simply in order to remember Hashem. When you walk in, you walk out, it's just it's a visible reminder to remind you there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. What? It's a drush. Shakai. Shomer Dals, but we have a moon up shooter. That the purpose of a mezuzah, it provides shemira. That's the ma'aseh Unkelus. Unkelus, when they came to get him, so when he walked out of the room, he put his hand on the mezuzah. And the soldier said, what are you doing? So he says, he's my commander. Hashem protects me. And he gave a mashal. all Melech Basav Dam, the Melech is on the inside, Buckingham Palace. The Melech is on the inside, and on the outside, there are the soldiers, there are the honor guards, there are the guards on the outside. Melech Basav Dam, Melech Basav Dam, by Klal Yisrael, it's just the opposite, okay? It's just the opposite where we are on the inside and the Ribbono Shel Olam protects us on the outside, correct? That's so, and that it was so awe-inspiring. Obviously, the way he said it, if I would say this, I would tell you, you laughed me off. But when he said it with such sincerity, it affected these non-Jews, and they also became Gerim. They also converted. So how could it be that if we have a mezuzah that protects us, how could anything ever go wrong in the home? So he said, and it's an extreme statement, what he said, extreme statement, and he says, what would happen if you would take a mezuzah and you would tie it to a string and you would suspend it from the ceiling? Okay, I have a string here, right in the middle of the room, I take a string, suspend it, and tie the mezuzah. And it'll be dangling. Would the mezuzah, according to our tradition, protect us in this room? Right? Radio, mezuzah. Ma'adok, it protects it on the door. It will protect it when it's dangling in the middle of the room. Take it off the door, put it in the middle of the room on a string, dangle. Will it protect us? Will it provide you shemira? No, it won't. There are rules. The rules are the mezuzah works when you put it in the right place. Why? Those are the rules. You got to play by the rules. The mezuzah goes on the door, a doorpost, and there's a right doorpost, a left doorpost. You put on the right of your entry, biyascha, two-thirds up on an angle. You follow the rules. You do yours, Hashem does His. Right? Isn't that the way it goes? So the mezuzah only works when you have, and the mezuzah needs a bayis. You have to have a roof, and you have to have walls, and you have to have everything in place. When a person inside his home, in the room, does averos, if he speaks lashon hara, he looks at things he's not supposed to look at, he behaves in a way that's not correct, he eats food that's not kosher, what you've really done is you have damaged the environment. It's almost as if you've taken a sledgehammer and you've made a breach in this wall, you've made a breach in that wall, you took the door and you smashed the door, and you smash this post and that post. Every time you do an avera, in essence, what you're doing is you're abusing your environment. I'm here, no one's watching me. I can do whatever I want. I can speak all the lashon hara, no one hears me in the room. I can view anything I want that's not proper. I can engage in illegal activity because I'm using this environment as a way to conduct myself. So what you've done in the spiritual world is you've destroyed your spiritual walls. You've abused them. So when the mezuzah is hanging on the door, it's really, in essence, just hanging by a string in the middle of the room. The mezuzah only works when the mezuzah is on a door that has two posts, has a lintel, and you have a room that has walls, and there's dalet amos. There are certain rules you need in order to create an environment which is chayav in a mezuzah. But if in this environment you damage what its purpose is, then it's as if you've basically destroyed the walls. Because such walls Hashem is not interested in. Such to create a secure environment only so you can do averus without being getting caught, it's as if in Hashem's eyes there is no walls here. There is no ceiling. There is no walls. There is no door. There is no mashkaf. There is no mezuzah. So what? Oh, but I have a holy mezuzah on the... Yeah, your holy mezuzah is dangling on a string. Do you expect in the best of conditions, if you're at tzaddik yisoid olam, that your mezuzah is going to provide for you protection? No, I don't expect because I have to fight. So why do you expect it to provide for you protection if you have abused and damaged the spiritual qualities of what your of your walls and doors are supposed to do?
So how does that answer the question? Why do tzaddikim get sick and bad things?
Tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, ask you a question. You're not asking a new question. That's your plagiarism. That's an old question. Moshe Rabbeinu asked that kasha. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that tzaddik, Hashem says, ultimately, we're going back, ultimately, the end of the day is tzaddik v'raloi, we don't know the answer. But generally, there is a general emuna that if you do what you're supposed to do, then Hashem will help you. Hashem will protect you. There are exceptions. There are major exceptions, obviously. But don't hold Hashem hostage and say, I put the mezuzah on my door and therefore it's going to protect me. It will protect you if you have a door and you have a wall and you have a ceiling. If you take your mezuzah and put your mezuzah dangling on a string, it's not going to protect you. If you do averos in the room that you put your mezuzah on, from Hashem's perspective, there is no door, there is no wall, there is no ceiling. This is just a desert with a mezuzah in your pocket. We all laugh at people, goyim, who put a good luck charm. They come into Eichler's and they want to buy a mezuzah, a real mezuzah, as a good luck charm.
They still do that?
Yeah, sure do. They sure do, as a good luck charm. It works for the Jews, could it work for me? And they put it in their car, they put it in their pocket, they go, they're willing to spend the $50. Why not? I paid for my membership in the Center of Kabbalah. I pay them $1,000 a year. So what's the big deal? Another $50 to buy a cheap mezuzah as a good luck charm. It ain't gonna work in your pocket. It's gotta work on your door. On your door, well, is your environment. This is what he said. And it's a very fascinating concept. Your mezuzah is only as good as your door.
No, it's you.
No, not you. It's your door. Do you have a door? Have you damaged the spiritual qualities of the door? What's the purpose of a door? What's the purpose of a door? To lock it so the poor man can't come inside? Why do you have a door? Who are you protecting yourself from with a door? Why is your door locked? Who are you trying to... What is the purpose of having a door? To keep the Taliban out? Or to keep the collector, the schnorr, from coming in, from bothering you, asking you for a donation. You think they're all the same? They're the same. You say, mayor would say that. What are you using the door for? What's the purpose? Why do you have on your door a camera to see who's there? Is it because you want to see? My main priority is that when someone rings the bell. So I want to make sure it's not a collector. So if it's a collector, I won't enter the door. If it's my friend, I will collect it. So the primary reason why you're buying a camera on your door and connecting it to your smartphone or whatever is to see, not to open the door for the collector. You got a problem. That means your door is not a door. That means the purpose of your door is to keep people out. In Hashem's eyes, that's not called the door. I don't know what you got there. But that's not what it means in the pasuk. Chasavtam al mezuzos beisecha. In Hashem's eyes, that's not a mezuzah. That's not a door. So, you got this holy object out there. In Hashem's eyes, you know what that is? That's a mezuzah attached to a string, dangling from the ceiling. Let me ask you now: do you expect that mezuzah to provide for you protection? No. So what complaint can you have against me? How come you got a cold and the mezuzah didn't protect you from the bacteria and a lot worse coming into the house? Our mezuzah, Shomer Dal Sei Yisrael. Yeah, the mezuzah has to be on a post, on a door, and in a proper environment. If you damage the spiritual qualities of that, don't expect it to work. Okay, that's his, like, the very power there. Let's go further. Yeah.
We see that some people, there were Serefa and Bulgari, two families that has Mishpat Chazon, that they came back for the lighting, Anukon light, and also Mishpat Mizrahi, that they were keeping Shabbat, they have burning at home, they lost some member of family.
Sadik Viraloi, ultimately at the end of the day, you're going back to the fundamentals. Chazal are brimming over the top with teaching you that if you do what Hashem wants from you, He will protect you, He will care for you, you'll be granted Siyata D'Shemaya. Mitzad Sheini, we have an infinite number of examples of Tzadik V'Raloi. You're asking me the old ancient question of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mitzad Echad, Hashem says, if you do the mitzvahs, I'm going to take care of you. Mitzad Sheini, look what's going on in this world. You have to live with Emuna, going forward, you have to believe, I do what I'm supposed to do, Hashem will take care of me. If achar hamaisa, it does not work out, you don't quit, and you have to acknowledge, we don't understand Hashem's ways. Tzadik v'ralai. Is that a difficult balance? You bet it is. Is this something new? Nothing new. This is 3,000, 4,000 years old. Nothing new to complain about today. That is the avoy. That is the struggle of life. And that is emunah. But over here, he says over here a very, very powerful thing. So I know the person who did this. He got up in shul. Could not. It's exactly what he would do. This is this guy. This is just Rabbi Zal. He's not a young man now. He's not well at all. He's a zaken. He's an elderly man now. But I remember him when I was very little, and he's a real. He's an extremist. He's a fundamentalist. Where would you go? A kanoi like look. He moved into Flatbush. He came to Flatbush. In those days, and when Flatbush was on the up, when it was really booming, and he moved in, he bought a house, and he comes to shul, the local Friday night shul. He finds, he moved to this day because he wanted to be near a yeshiva, which he worked in the yeshiva. But Friday night, he davened at his local shtibel, and it was packed. He bought a house on the block. He comes there the first Friday, davened there. Another Shabbos, true story. And he's there in the shtibel, packed. And he says to the rabbi, please, give me a favor. I want to speak before at some, make an announcement before end. I don't even know exactly when. And they made announcements. They let people speak here and there. And they're like, okay, fine. You can, fine. You want a chosh of a person, big beard. You're a rebbe in this yeshiva. Yeah, of course. I want to give a clap on the table. Rabbi Sai, please, I have something very, very important to say. Rabbi Sai, that's what he said. You're talking about crazy people? Okay. And he says, Rabbi Sai, I bought a house on this block. He says this to a whole shul full of people. I bought a house on this block. I paid, he probably even told them how much he paid. I paid whatever he paid those days, $300,000, $500,000. I don't know what he said what he paid. I bought the house. I made an investment, real estate investment. And there's a shul here. Chazal say, he basically quoted the Sefer Chassidim, that a place where they talk during davening will turn into a base avodah zarah, will turn into a church. Rabbi Sai, you know that I invested here $500,000 in buying a house on this block. But I see now that it was a poor investment. Because this shul is going to turn into a church. And that means when I put my house up for sale, they'll say, yeah, there's a house for sale on this block and it's three houses away from a church. How much do you think I'm going to get on the market for my house? Not $500,000. I'll get $100,000. So Rabbi Sai, you here are causing me a loss of $400,000. I have a complaint against you, Ganavim. I made an investment. You're causing me a loss because you all talk during davening, and I believe in what Chazal say, that a place where they talk during davening will turn into a church, and you're causing me a loss.
Did they stop talking?
No. Of course not. Come on. Come on. Okay? And that's what he said. I know the person. I know the person. Now, you know the person. You'll say that. I heard this story a few times that he did this in shul. He thought it was crazy, but... What? No, of course not. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Okay, but that speech was all built upon the foundation of what we learned over here in this halacha. Next, le'olam lo yasu ha'arelim ra'ah el imkin yasu yisrael tchila ra'ah b'neihem lezeh lezeh. Okay, another idea, the same principle. This very mystical stuff over here is that we open the way for them to cause us harm. Okay, over here they'd be giving these speeches. They had a whole event here for Sunday night on anti-Semitism. I didn't go to it. I was invited by.
I went.
How was it?
I
want to brag no, now to you. I was supposed to be the one responsible for your tape. meaningless. I was asked to please go for Torah anytime. Call me up. Please do us a favor. Please go there Sunday night, and record it, stream it live. I have all the equipment. I said I can't. I have an appointment. I cannot. I have a. Sure. I told him I couldn't do it. Other obligations, which I did, and it was impossible. But and I saw it was supposed to be me. So obviously, they have dime a dozen of people who volunteer for them, but I was very curious what it was about. I had Chalisha Sadas. I really would have loved to go there, just to be there, to hear what they had to say. Rabbi Reisman, maybe give a quick summary. What did he say? What did they say?
Well, Rabbi Reisman, I missed, but I went in the middle of Rabbi Leaf and Rabbi Budney.
What did they say? What was their words? Anti-Semitism. Well, why is this? What should we do religiously, besides having the state troopers patrol the police, which we never had before, and besides all the governor, and besides security, and besides all the politicians, and besides the very successful march that I did not go to on Sunday, which Michal and Mr. Plotnick represented us, and Mayor, three people over here represented us. Very nice. Wow. Very chashev. Anyone else here in the shul playgo? I had an obligation. I wouldn't have probably gone anyway, but I had anyway an obligation the whole day that day. But yes. Yeah, so yeah. What do you say?
What I got out of it is, Rabbi Leaf said, his point is that America is a malchus of chesed, but we are in Golos. And we constantly have to remind ourselves that we are in Golos. We are too, we're too showy, which is terrible.
Ostentatious.
Yeah, ostentatious. We are. He was very much against the idea of people carrying weapons. He was not in favor of that, or making these groups and all that. And the theme that was repeated over and over again is that we are in Golos. And
don't get too comfortable.
Right. Even though they are very nice to us.
Too little, too late.
Okay.
He was. You know, he has no tightness on the government. You know. He said, on the contrary, you see that they're taking it seriously. You know, I think he was saying they might not be doing the right thing, but they're taking it very seriously. And
who is?
The government. Yep. Putting police by all the security and everything else that's going on.
Okay, so let's look at Sajjah. Right now, the Sefer Hasidim says the same exact thing. And he writes over something very, very, very powerful. And he writes here, Lo'oilam, lo yasu ho'arelim. Okay, a very nice term for non-Jews, the Arielim, that includes everyone. That includes the African Americans. Includes the
Isn't that
Ra'ah.
Isn't that a
they will not do to us evil. A goy has no shlita in Shemayim to lift their hand and to cause us harm. Ela im kain yaasu Yisrael techila ra'ah beinehem ze lo ze. You know what gives power to someone to hit a Jew on the subway? It's when a person in the Beis Medrash insults his fellow chaver. If you're sitting in Beis Medrash and someone says to you, makes a nasty comment, your nasty comment in the Koislei Beis HaMedrash to cause another fellow Jew tsar, in the Koislei Beis HaMedrash, is what empowers a goy somewhere out in Arizona to say a nasty, dirty word to a Jew in a restaurant. It's all connected. It's all connected. This is not Scientology. This is the real deal. What?
The butterfly concept.
What's the butterfly concept?
The wing that makes the wind.
Okay. In the world, the spiritual world, when one Jew is not good to another Jew, it opens up the gate. It empowers a non-Jew to cause pain to a Jew. He writes, Klar, le'olam lo yasu harelim ra, it's impossible, le'olam. Okay, we go from the bizarre, the previous paragraph, to the relevant. We vacillate. We vacillate from things that we cannot understand, to things that we really can understand. Le'olam lo yasu harelim ra, ele'im kein yasu Yisrael techila ra'a beinehem ze lo ze. V'lo yisbazu talmidei chachamim, it does not happen that talmidei chachamim put to shame, el imken yavuzu ze lo ze techila, unless they shame one another. When one talmid chacham puts to shame, insults, embarrasses, mevaze another talmid chacham, and the world just sits back and tolerates this, know what that brings? That means that the goyim, when they look at the rabbis, the next day you'll see in the newspaper that the goyim are saying all the rabbis are phonies. Because if the rabbis amongst themselves have no respect to each other, what is the result? The consequence is that the Ummah Yisra'elam will have an expose that the rabbis who wear the fracks and the big up hats and the long beards, they're all a bunch of ganavim, they're a bunch of phonies. The rabbis have no respect in the eyes of the world.
That happened by Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That's exactly what happened. Nobody got up for him.
The Kamsa of our Kamsa was amongst the Jews themselves,
right,
exactly.
Right.
And
right.
What is it? Was the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon. Well, there it's a little bit different. There was the Rabbanon did not protest that an individual. Kamsa of our Kamsa were just citizens. They were not Rabbanon. And his complaint was, how come the Rabbanim did not make a machah to my embarrassment?
Right.
They saw that I was embarrassed, they were quiet. He's saying something different. He's saying that the Rabbanim themselves are embarrassing one another. One rabbi says about another rabbi, he's a piece of garbage. Okay?
That's what they do.
So when one rabbi says to another rabbi, you're a piece of garbage, the Rambam, the Sreifa Satalmud, what did the Shari Chuv, what did the Rabbeinu Yoina do to the Rambam's works? What do they do? Participate in the burning of the books of the Rambam. 1242, before 1240, the year took place in the year 1240, they took the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, Sefer Hamada, and they burnt it, because the Rambam is not Bikoyres. So what was the response? So the rabbis were fighting with each other, and they went to extreme measures. They showed disrespect one to the other. So what was the result? The result was the church got together, what's the word, I always slur my tongue?
Disposition.
The disputation. The goyim mock the Jews. If you read an account in that new country, it's called Kankan. They translate chunks of the record of the conversation of exactly what Rabbi Yechiel Miparis said to the judges, and what the priests, the bishops, the cardinal, how they respond, the mockery of the rabbis. What opened up the power for the goyim, the arelim, to mock us, is because we mock one another. Okay, we mock one another. This is serious business. This Sefer Hasidim should be plastered all over Flatbush, instead of plastering other nonsense all over the place.
How about the effect of the Talmidei Akiva that they didn't respect each other?
That's another principle. That's Talmidei Chachamim, that's students.
Why the Akiva didn't advise them?
That's another topic of discussion. But over here it says, V'lo yizbazu Talmidei Chachamim. It does not happen that Talmidei Chachamim are viewed in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the Arelim, as being despised. You know where it comes from. Ela imkein yavuzu ze lo ze techila, oishem evazim es atoira, or the Torah is disgraced. Vein moichim bo yadam. Okay, now the Sefer Chasidim opens up a thing of to make a macha. I had a conversation with someone two nights ago, a Talmud Chacham, talking about a certain issue, and I mentioned, like, why don't we make a macha? Why don't we, you know, people should write a letter? And he said something very disturbing to me. He said to me, to make a protest. There's a certain issue that bothered me very, very much, which I will not tell you. There was a certain issue. And I said, well, how come? And he revealed to me incredible information. I'm not the only one that's very disturbed. He revealed to me laid out some big names of people who I went on record as agreeing to my approach to a certain matter. So I said, how come there are no letters in the newspaper? There is no public response. So he says, so he didn't really have an answer. I said, so why don't you write a letter? I said, why don't? So he said to me, if the Gedolei Yisrael don't make a macha, then it's not for me to make a macha. And then he gave me to tell me different stories. About 90% of what he said to me, I totally disagree with. And it was very revealing, this approach of you should never go and make and protest. Basically, his whole attitude was, don't write letters to the editor. Not that they'll never, I have experience. I used to write in the past letters to the editor. They were never printed, never, not even close. So I wanted to understand why. So first I showed. So he said, because you write, it's too extreme. Okay, so that it's too extreme. My language. You want to write a letter.
Are you talking about our media or theirs?
Our media, the Haredi media, okay. FJJ, Yated, the Yated and Mohammadia. So someone read my letter. So he says they'll never print this because it's way too extreme. You gotta chill out. Gotta calm down, take a cold shower. You have to ride with moderation. I remember once there was the OU was under a lot of attack. I remember the OU responded. They were under attack, and the OU responded in the Jewish week. And then my father reading it, and my father was showing me, and he was showing me, look at this letter from the OU. Look how carefully written it was, without any anger, without any, I forgot all the words my father used. They didn't come out and take out a machine gun and say, you're criticizing us. Take out a grenade and just, even though they're all right, the OU in this issue, from our the Orthodox community's perspective, was totally right. And the nastiness of the media, including the Jewish week, was uncalled for. It was totally uncalled for. L'chol hadeis. L'chol hadeis. And the OU wrote a letter in response. It was so carefully written with such respect.
Measured.
It was measured. Right. It was measured with incredible skill to respond with no emotion, to state the facts with their charetz. That's how you write a letter to an editor if you want to get it printed. Okay, so I tried that. And guess what? They still wouldn't print it.
Who's they?
I told you, the major newspaper. I don't want to go and put fingers on certain people. Major newspapers. And then I came to the realization is that they're not going to print it because this is not what the people want to hear. It's not good for business. It's just not good for business.
Well, controversy,
and it's certainly, what?
Controversy is
only, see, that's the thing, it's not. Controversy, stupid controversy is good business.
Okay, well,
if you put a picture of a woman in the newspaper where it's not no gay, you're not ruffling anyone's feathers, that's fun. That type of controversy of stupidity is good for business.
You're right.
Okay, the controversy, should you put a picture of a 90-year-old woman in the newspaper, or should you not put a picture of a 90-year-old woman? Oh, should you put a picture of the sun in the newspaper where it's partially? That type of controversy, of stupidity, that you can put in the news. You can fight about it, and you can make a litzanus about. But the real things of Geneva, of money, where you're going to ruffle someone's feather? No. We only do what's popular. Only what's popular. That, even if you write a measured letter with Derech Eretz, you're not going to get nowhere. And if you're going to put it in the Jewish week, it just adds fuel to Chil Hashem, so there's no purpose in doing that either over there. You're talking to the wrong audience there. And to talk to your audience, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It's not good for business. So this is a very big problem. And here he writes, V'ein moichem biyadam. The Sefer Hasidim says, you have to make a macho. If you see something, say something. New York City subway, poster, right? If you see something.
Malcolm encourages that.
What?
Malcolm, when he speaks about anti-Semitism.
No, but I'm not talking about
speaking
in writing. That's anti-Semitism. I'm talking about in matters of Erlichkeit, in Yadus, in Derech Eretz, in Midos Toivos. And this person is very revealing what he said to me. He said to me things I never heard before, I never understood before. And he told me different stories of Gedolei Yisrael, very fascinating stories from all different rebbes, and very, very, these are true stories. And each story is indeed a very good lesson. And he told me from very things I never heard before, which, you know, shook me up a little bit. And the end of the day is he says, mind your own business. Mind your own business. And okay, if that's really what, maybe he's right. I don't know anything. I don't know. He says, "V'ein moy." So there is such a thing where if you do see something, say something. And the Sefer Hasidim is more on the side to say that when it comes to situations where Talmidei Chachamim are mevazeh one another, or where there is clearly a crime that is committed in Hilchos Deos V'Chovos Halavavos, and you just sit back and let it go, you are empowering the goyim to attack us. Hishtadlus, you know, that night of the Sunday night, all you had to do was get up, okay? They would never ask me to speak, never, for a million reasons. Who am I, right? But really, all the rabbi needs to do is get up at this event and read what we just learned today. Just get up and say there. Let me read to you what it says in Sefer Chassidim. We're here to discuss an event. What should we do about anti-Semitism? Well, the police have on the streets state troopers. I've never in my life seen a state trooper in Brooklyn. Never. I never even saw a vehicle, a state trooper vehicle, patrolling the streets of Brooklyn. You see them on the highway. If you're lucky, you get to see them on the highway. Okay?
You don't want to be lucky.
You don't want to see them, but they're there. On the highway, you see them. You ever see them in a state trooper vehicle in Flatbush? I never in my life recall seeing a state trooper.
It's a recent innovation that in order to get reinforcements, first they brought them in onto the highways, and now they've expanded it onto patrol.
On Coney Island Avenue, I came out of davening yesterday on the way here to the Shear, came out of Chaim Berlin, I try to leave 9:20 to be here by 9:30. I always end up leaving a little bit later, but I try to leave 9:20. 9:20, the boys are finishing up breakfast, coming back in the Misifta into. So I walk down whatever it was yesterday, and I see right outside the Misifta, I see two state troopers with their big top hats. They look like Rosh Shivas when they're all their costume, and all these young ninth grade boys. You know, with their white shirts and they're all totally surrounded. The state, they were totally surrounded. Like, who knows what's going on? There's a hold them up. And they're engaged in this very intense conversation. Where basically the state troopers, they know, you see, they're not Brooklynites. These state troopers, they have a whole different look to them. They have a whole different, they come from out of town. And it seemed from the conversation that they were more intrigued with these yeshiva bachrim than the yeshiva bachrim were intrigued with them. And they were engaged in this very lively conversation. It looked like a very pleasant conversation. It looked like a Kiddush Hashem to me. And they were schmoozing like very intensely, you know, about if they were talking. It looked very interesting. What was going on over there? It didn't look like there's any crime taking place. It was just them schmoozing. And these guys are parked and they're sitting there the whole day, bored out of their mind, on their smartphones, just there because the governor said, I'm up for re-election and I got to do something, right? So they're there. It's a new thing, a new phenomenon. So that's what the government is doing for us. But what are we doing for ourselves? All you have to do is get up and read these holy words that have been crafted by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And all you have to do is say, Le'olam lo yasu ho'areilim ro'oh. An orel will never have the chutzpah to lift up a finger. Ella im kain yasu Yisrael techila ro b'nehem zelozeh. You know why someone was attacked in Williamsburg? It's because someone in the Beis Medrash said something not nice to his friend next to him. V'lo yispazu talmidei chachamim. And you know why talmidei chacham are under attack? The rabbis have to have police protection in front of their house. You know why there's a guard in front of this, the home of this Rosh Hashiva? It's because Elim Ken Yavuzu Zelo Zetchilu, because Talmidei Chachamim publicly are mevaze one another. Oish mevaze nes haTorah, or people are mevaze the Torah, they moichim biyadam, and everyone says, none of my business. None of my business. That's where anti-Semitism starts and ends. Okay, that's the religious response. I'm not telling you, you don't go put on a bulletproof vest. I'm not telling you you don't have weapons. Every yeshiva today, the doors are locked. It's unbelievable. You can't, everything is locked. You have guards. You know, that's how it is. But besides the hashtadlus, al derech hateva, you're a religious Jew, you have to hashtadlus also in the world of ruchnis. Okay, we'll take a short break and we will continue.